In its first week in stores, Grand Theft Auto 4 sold 6 million copies worldwide, raking in $500 million. The ultra-violent game has been reviewed mostly ecstatically, partly for its setting, a fictional version of New York City called Liberty City. That setting is complemented by a soundtrack that some are singling out as particularly impressive. Chris Richards is the executive editor of the music magazine The Fader, and he joins us now in studio to give us an assisted listen to Grand Theft Auto 4. Chris, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I want to start by setting kind of the landscape here. How does the music in this game in particular, GTA 4, compare to other games? Because they've had music in these games for a while.
Sure, they have. The thing about that makes this game unique is that there's just so much music. It's kind of catering to the iPod generation in a way. There's over 150 tracks that span the course of 16 different radio stations that you can tune into as you're traveling, you know, throughout the game. And it's just a huge amount of music, more so than ever before. I think the last Grand Theft Auto installment, Grand Theft Auto 3, had about 8 stations that had, you know, 5 or 6 tunes apiece, which were really, it was really innovative at the time and really cool.
Yeah.
But this game, there's just so much more. And I think it keeps people playing the game even longer.
I mean, it's crazy. Just when I was kind of surfing around through that world and listening to this music, it's hard not to harken back to the first video games that I was exposed to. Atari and Nintendo and Mario Brothers,
right,
and Asteroids. And those were like sound effects or these weird kind of techno kind of songs and kind of not. When you look at how music in video games has evolved, how do you characterize what's going on in GTA?
Well, I think what's happening now is obviously, you know, the video game world is reaching outside of the video game world to find the music to soundtrack these games. Grand Theft Auto is extremely narrative. You know, they really want to provide a narrative experience for the players. So I think that they want to emulate Hollywood in that way. So rather than composing their own stuff, you know, they kind of grab tracks that are cool. Also, it's a chance to really score points with and score, I guess, legitimacy in the eyes of the player.
They're trying to make it as real as possible.
Absolutely, right. And I think they're catering to, like, your sense of cool. They're trying to play, like, the hippest stuff that you might know about and stuff that you might not know about yet, you know, that's a little bit, you know, below the radar. So there's a really wide spectrum of music here, real populist stuff that everyone's heard, Black Sabbath and Thin Lizzy, these classic rock songs, and then, you know, super, you know, relatively obscure indie rock songs that I would presume that the average gamer might not have heard before, or if they have, you know, feel kind of a sense of I don't know, accomplishment or something, because they know, you know, they're in on it.
What's an example of one of those more obscure songs?
Let's see. The most obscure, trying to cater to, like, the hipster crowd, there's a radio station called Radio Broker, which is the version of Brooklyn in the game.
Uh-huh.
So it has a lot of, you know, kind of, like, young, hip dance punk bands, a lot of, like, the early 2000 dance punk groups like The Rapture, Chick Chick Chick, and LCD Sound System. These are kind of, you know, they're super cool bands, and I think that kind of caters to, I don't know, a hipster sensibility.
Yeah,
in
a
the
little
gaming
bit of
world.
Retro. Does everything lend itself to the story that's being told in Grand Theft Auto?
Well,
not necessarily.
I don't know if it goes exactly with the narrative arc in perfect tandem, but I think the intention of the game is to kind of create the idea of a New York City. And I know that there was an interview that appeared on The Vulture, which is the New York Magazine blog, with Dan Houser, who was the vice president of Rockstar Games. And he said that, you know, we weren't trying to mimic what's on New York radio. We were trying to kind of create almost an idealized version of what we would want to hear, or what people think they would want to hear on New York radio, you know. So in a sense, it's very interesting because the game's landscape, the cityscape portrayed in the game, is very dystopian, but the radio dial is almost utopian in the sense that there's so much great stuff out there. It's, you know, it's better than the real radio in a sense.
When you listen to this as a music critic, mm-hmm. as someone who does this for a living, what stands out to you as really exceptional, as something that you would want to listen to anyway, regardless of whether or not you were playing the game, something mm-hmm. you'd want to turn on in your car?
Sure. Well, I think the things that grabbed me the most were the surprises. There's one station called The Journey, which I thought was going to be some kind of like power ballad station or whatever, but it's actually a bunch of kind of like avant classical, almost new age artists. You know, you have Terry Riley's Rainbow and Curved Air, which is one of my favorite, you know, weird synth electronic compositions ever that I, you know, would just listen to all summer, you know, blissed out in my bedroom having a wonderful time listening to this album. And here it is in this kind of like, you know, shoot 'em up, bang bang video game. It's a totally contradictory impulse. You know, you're driving around cars, smashing it into light poles, you know, hijacking people for their vehicles. And then once you get inside, Let's listen to it. A nice, relaxing, utopian Philip Glass piece.
We'll take you on a journey to find the emptiness within. This is the journey.
And of course, then you can have the exact opposite experience, too. There's a radio station called Electrochalk, and that kind of captures a lot of the maximal house music that's kind of dominating right now. Groups like Boys Noize and Justice and Simian Mobile Disco, all who we've covered, you know, on The Fader and TheFader.com. Like, you know, these are like these very maximal, crunchy dance jams, you know. They make perfect sense for, you know, riding recklessly around New York City and crashing your car into others.
This is Electroshock.
Now, when you're judging this music, are you listening to it as it serves the game, or are you just listening to it as a connoisseur of music?
Me personally, a little bit of both. I mean, I'll be honest. Like, I think the most fun I've had with it so far, the game itself, because I'm not extremely proficient at these games. I'm not as good as I wish I was.
You and me both,
figuring
Chris.
It out. So, but the thing that makes it enjoyable for me, I mean, I would just, you know, take the car around the block and surf the dial. You know, it's almost like a virtual reality situation.
And when you say take the car around the block,
sure,
you mean in the game.
Yes, exactly, in the game. Yes.
I mean, this is something that I should clarify, because I've heard now a couple of our staff members talking about either they did this or their husbands, spouses. They were like, yeah, I just drive it around the car, and drive in the car and listen to this stuff. And
right.
It took me a few minutes to realize, oh, they didn't download it and drive it and listen to it
no.
in their own car. They were clearly driving.
Yes,
in
actuality, I'm in my living room holding, you know, a controller in my hand.
That's so funny. So in the game, you can just kind of get on cruise control, and
sure.
You're not really shooting up bad guys. You're just
you're totally autonomous. Like, I mean, there are missions
music.
That you need to complete and things like that, but you can, you know, follow people down alleyways, you know, do whatever you like. And that's, I think, what makes the game so interesting to people. There's a sense of freedom to it. And then the music, the soundtrack that they've put together for this runs perfectly in sync with that, because they just give you so many options. I think they wanted to create that sense of freedom that runs throughout the entire game.
What doesn't work musically in this game, do you think?
What doesn't work musically? Let's see.
Maybe nothing. Was there anything that you thought, oh, that's jarring?
Actually, nothing that really struck me as jarring. I mean, there were just so many surprises. I'm still kind of starry-eyed over all of it, you know, just because there were so many surprises on the dial and different songs that they selected. You know, songs that I thought, like, only I thought I cared about that song. I can't believe, you know, the 6 million people who bought this thing are going to be listening to the Minnie Riperton Inside My Love song that I love so very much, you know.
Let's talk about this relationship between Rockstar and Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
I find this fascinating. So there's a deal, and basically what they've done is create this mechanism so that you can be playing the game, and in the middle of the game, you can stumble upon a radio station, and you decide, oh, that's so awesome, that Minnie Riperton single. I love that song.
Right.
I want to download that. Mm-hmm. And as I understand it, you can get your character to send you a text message?
Yeah, there's a text message that you can send to a certain number for a thing called ZIT or ZIT, which I believe is like kind of like a joke on Apple and iTunes and things like that. It'll send you a text message back. This is all in the game. It'll send you a text message on the screen that'll tell you the artist name and the title. You can take that and head off to Amazon.com and buy them, you know, right from the source. So it's a huge, huge opportunity for so many musicians, you know, to have this game steering tons of traffic right to Amazon to buy the tunes right then and there.
So the next question is, why do musicians, what's the incentive for musicians to take part in this? And they're reaching new audiences.
Absolutely, yeah. The exposure has got to be unparalleled. I mean, this is, how many games did they sell the first week? I mean, it's unreal. That thinking of an album selling that much now, it's impossible. Those days are gone. Like, even in like the Backstreet Boys, you know, highest heights, they weren't selling as many copies as Grand Theft Auto, right? So I think the exposure is just unparalleled, and I got to imagine it's serving musicians both established and, you know, underground very, very well.
How does this music, or does this music rather, have the potential to influence music that's not in the gaming world? Are you seeing some kind of reciprocal relationship?
Well, I guess only through exposure, in a sense, you know. I mean, if you rewind it back to Grand Theft Auto 3, my cousin had that and first played it, you know, showed it to me years ago. He was a teenager at the time, and there was like a reggae station, dub reggae, and he got really into dub reggae from playing this game, and now he's in his early 20s and it's all he listens to. So I gotta think that that might be rubbing off on, you know, young musicians today who are, you know, gamers as well. They're getting exposed to a lot of new sounds. You know, there's a lot of records and a lot of songs and records on here that I didn't discover until, you know, my mid-20s, that if I was, you know, a teenager playing, you know, Grand Theft Auto, like, it would be a real treat to find out about a lot of this stuff.
There is an album, DJ Green Lantern, who's one of the DJs profiled in the game. And I have to ask you to clarify, is this a real DJ or is this a fake DJ?
He is real.
He's real.
He is real.
Because there are some who are playing characters and some who are real flesh and blood DJs.
Yes, he is a real flesh and blood DJ, and he is the DJ in the game on the station The Beat, which is kind of like the New York hip-hop kind of station.
So this is the game is providing this guy a whole other platform to release his material?
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, he's the DJ host, so he'll be playing other artists' songs, but again, the exposure is just massive for him. So, and there's a lot of other celebrity DJs as well throughout the show, throughout the game, I'm sorry. Karl Lagerfeld, the fashion mogul, has, he's one of the DJs for the disco station.
Liberty City Studio, keeping the buzz of electronic music alive.
Which has an amazing Cerrone track called Supernature, who Cerrone was like the French answer to Giorgio Moroder. And there's a really great Gino Socio song on there called Dancer, too. Just things like that are just, make the game so over the top and special.
I have to say one of my favorite things, I haven't looked at all the music on there, listened to all of it, but the Russian radio station, I'm totally into that.
This song is called Taxi.
Right, yeah. That's the one thing that, totally blew me away. And I have no context for any of those musicians whatsoever. So I'm definitely going to be doing my research after spending a little more time with the game to find out about that stuff.
Well, Chris Richards is the executive editor of the music magazine, The Fader. And he has been giving us an assisted listen to the music that you can find on Grand Theft Auto 4. I'm sure there will be a 5 or 6 somewhere down the road.
Or 7, 8, 9, 10, 8, 11.
9, and 10, 11. Hey, Chris, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Do you remember playing Tetris a few years ago? Do you remember the Tetris music?
I don't remember. What was it?
Bing, 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 bada-bing. I think the Russian folk song or national anthem.
I loved some of the music that's in this game. It might turn me into a gamer.
I haven't wanted
to... No, it won't.
You're a gamer. Bring your A game every day. I haven't wanted to play a video game in a long, long time, ever since they took that bass fishing video game offline.
Oh.
But this one seems interesting. It's about me and the places I go and the urban landscape I pillage. No, but you know what I'm saying. It's in New York, and you want to see their
just
take
like
of
that.
New York.
How many women play
and
this
the radio
game?
Station
I just
want
to know. How many women play Grand Theft Auto? Some. I'm sure
Seven
or eight.
Yeah.
Handful.
At least eight. I'm going to say eight, conservatively. And I will also say this.
Will you say?
That the Bryant Park Project is directed by Jacob Gans and edited by Trish McKinney. Our technical director, I should note, is Manoli Weatherall.
Our staff also includes Dan Pashman, Ian Chillog, Wynn Rosenfeld, Angela Ellis, Caitlin Kenny, Nathan Duhl, Zaina Barakat, Jeannie Barron, Lauren Spohr.
Laura Conaway edits our website and blog. The two are related.
Our newscaster is Mark Garrison.
Our senior producer is Matt Martinez. Sharon Hoffman is our executive producer.
My name is Rachel Martin.
And I, madam, am Mike Pesca.
You are.
We are online all the time at npr.org/Bryant Park. And I'm going to say it like they do on the BBC, using the correct tense. This was the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.